Hey, this is Greg Little from Bethany Baptist Church. I'm so thankful that you decided to join us on this podcast. I trust that the Lord will use it in your life to encourage you, strengthen you, and challenge you wherever you are in your walk with Him. For more information about Bethany, you can visit us online at bethanybc.ca. And now let's open our hearts and minds to what the Lord has for us. All right, thank you, ladies, for that. Let's take our Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter number 14. Matthew chapter 14. Every once in a while, I will say something like this, and maybe you do this as well, that I'll come to a passage that I'm reading or teaching or preaching in. I'm working on this passage, and maybe I've even said it from up here that I'll come to this passage and I'll say, you know, this is one of my favorite passages. And I say that all the time because I come to a lot of passages that are my favorite passages, and I'll say that about a lot of different scripture, because the reality is any book that I'm reading, any passage that I'm reading is my favorite passage. Does anyone else do that, or is that just me? I'm like, yeah, I love this one. Oh, wait, I love all of them. But on the other hand, I think there are some passages of Scripture that go really a little bit above and beyond that. There are certain passages that God has used in very special ways in my life, and you probably have the same in your life as well. Certain passages that He's used a number of times. I preached through the summer on Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6, very well-known verses, but God has used those verses so many times in my life, at times I needed it, that they've become very special to me, very, very dear to me. And this passage this morning that we're going to read here in just a second is another one of those passages that God has used multiple times in my life and in our family's life to be a help to us. It's a passage really for us that carries a lot of meaning, a lot of memories, and a lot of significance for our family. I won't go into all the details about that. You know a lot of our story already. I've told you a lot of it. But over the past 10 to 15 years or so, God has called us multiple times to get up and go and do something difficult. And you've experienced that as well in some ways. And I'm not emphasizing my story, but just thinking of these places that we have been in. And there have been multiple times in our life where we have had to step out by faith and follow the Lord's leading, even when we didn't understand what He was doing, or where we were going, or what we were doing. And I would love to tell you this morning as I stand up here that every single time the Lord called us out to do something that we obeyed immediately. I'd love to tell you that. That we immediately were like, yes, we're going to do it. That's exciting, and move forward. But that's not the truth. There were doubts at times. There were questions that we had. There were times of struggle. And it seemed like to us, every single time we came to that place of doubting or questioning or struggle, every single time we came to that place when we were really struggling with what the Lord wanted us to do, you know, really asking the question, God, is this really what You want? Is this really what You're calling us to do? Every time it seemed like we came to that place, the Lord used this passage that we're going to look at this morning. It was like every single time we would be reminded of this passage, whether it was in a sermon, often it was, we'd listen to a sermon and there it would be, or a Sunday school lesson that the kids would bring up, or my own personal reading, or whatever it might be. God used this passage so many times in our life to remind us, simply, I think, that He was in control and we just needed to be obedient and step out by faith and follow Him. In fact, so much so, I brought this morning. My dad gave me this. He gave us this as we left home and went to St. Lucia, kind of as a, because we had talked this passage so many times, every time we had doubts, every time we had questions, every time we were struggling, God would bring that passage. And so he gave us this, and it's kind of come with us everywhere we went as a reminder of this passage, that sometimes we just need to step out and trust the Lord and move forward by faith. And I say all that to say this. First of all, God's not calling us to that place right now, okay? He's not calling us to go anywhere. We're not moving on. But it has come at those pivotal moments in our life that we've used this passage. But secondly, I think that God is calling all of us to this place of faith and trust and obedience to him and to his will. It's not just those big moments, those pivotal moments of our life. It's all along the way, God is calling us to these places of trust and simple obedience in what he calls us to do. I think that's what we see in our passage this morning. So if you're in Matthew chapter 14, we're going to start reading. You know the story well, I'm sure, but let's read the whole thing starting in verse 22 all the way down to the end of this chapter. Straightway, in verse 22, Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with the waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit." And they cried out for fear. But straightway, Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." And he said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, "Of a truth, thou art the Son of God." And when they were gone over, they came into the land of Gennesaret. And when the men of that place had knowledge of him, they sent out into all the country round about and brought unto him all that were diseased, and besought him that they might only touch the hem of his garment, and as many as touched were made perfectly whole. How many of you have ever been out on a paddle board before? Does anyone, you know what I'm talking about? I have a picture. My kids might not like that I show that picture. Actually, you know what? Keith might not like that I'm showing that picture, because that's actually him on the paddle board. And we take them out. I mean, that's down Boyne's Cove, but we often will take them out to the lake on the paddle board. We only got out a few times this summer, actually not as much as we have before, but the kids enjoy that. We'll often go up to the lake over here and put our, we'll drive about halfway up that road and put our paddle boards in there. But to be honest, I'm not a huge fan of paddle boards. I told you the story, was it last week or maybe 2 weeks ago, of kayaking in the same place. Do you remember that? And I was fighting against the winds and the waves in that kayak. But even with the water being that choppy and the water going over the kayak and struggling that much, I never really felt, even in all of that, like I was going to fall out. I didn't feel like I was getting wet, but I didn't feel like I was going to end up in the water. Like, I felt pretty safe in that kayak. That's not true with a paddleboard. If you've ever been on a paddleboard, you probably realize that it's completely different. I could take that paddleboard out on the calmest day. Not a single wind, not a movement on the lake, just as still could be, and I could paddle out on my hands and knees. But as soon as I stand up, it becomes very unstable, right? And I begin to rock back and forth, and then all of a sudden, I've done this on the calmest day, I fall over and I end up and I'm in the water because I don't have that stability. But what's even worse than that, and we've done this before, is being on an in unstable board in unstable waters where it's just rocking all over the place and hard to stand up. And I say all that to say this, to make this point, that we are living in a world. The world that we're living in now is so similar to the world that Matthew is writing this gospel in that it is a world that is completely unstable. Totally unstable. In fact, I think the word of the day would be instability. Do you feel that a little bit? In this world, do you feel a little bit of that instability as you look around? This is exactly how it was back when Matthew wrote his gospel account. It was a world that was full of instability. They felt completely unstable. They lived under an oppressive government where there was always political instability. We're facing a little bit of that season right now, especially down south. But there was always political instability in the day and age that Matthew wrote this account. There were always groups that would rise up and rebel against the government. Those uprisings would be put down immediately. There'd be a time of suffering. It was not only political instability, but it was a time of great need where people really struggled to make ends meet. Just surviving in this culture was hard. I mean, if you didn't grow enough, if you didn't sell enough, you had nothing. There was no welfare, no government help. There was nothing. It was difficult. Civil and social unrest was normal. The same things that cause instability in our world today were pervasive back then too. It was everywhere. And I'm sure that you can see, that you can sense some of that instability in our world too. It doesn't take very much looking around to see that instability there. Some of it is big and right in our faces, right? You hear about the wars all the time. The election news is like 24/7 when you turn on the television. It's all around us. It's like everything around us is so unstable. There's the economy and the housing crisis and the inflation and the ability that some people have or don't have to be able to put food on their tables. There's this great time of instability, and it's big, but sometimes it's not quite so obvious to everyone. Sometimes it's very personal to you, right? There's instability that you're feeling at your home, whether it's family problems or financial problems or work problems or relational problems. There's some instability there too, and you feel that. And that causes us at times to be filled with fear and anxiety, to worry about all of these things that are causing all of this instability. And many people, and most of the world, in fact, what they try to do with that instability is they try to insulate themselves from that instability. Right? Just like that paddleboard on an unstable water, they try to put something between themselves that will insulate themselves from all of that instability. They try all sorts of things. They try a new job or a new relationship or a new government or a new legislation or law or a new whatever it is. They try to insulate themselves from that instability with these things, but just like that paddleboard on stormy water, the water is unstable, the world is unstable, and what they think is going to give them stability, if we just get this new government in power, they think what's going to give them stability really in the end is no stability at all. They're still just as unstable as they were before. In fact, sometimes it compounds on it. They need something that is deeper, right? They need someone that is more stable, who is trustworthy, who is powerful enough to let them stand even in unstable waters. That's what they're looking for. And by the way, we need that too, don't we? And Peter needed it. The disciples needed it. It's so easy for us to get our eyes off of Jesus and focus on the unstable waters around us. And just like Peter, we begin to sink in anxiety and fear and doubt and worry. It paralyzes us. Instead of moving forward by faith, we're getting rocked by the wind and the waves and the storms. You know, I wish I could get up and preach a message this morning that went like this. Listen, when you come to Jesus, all your problems will be over. That it'll be clear sailing from here on out. The waters won't be unstable anymore. They'll be completely calm. When you follow Jesus, everything will be okay. But if I did that, that would be, well, first of all, it would be untrue. But it would also be unhelpful. It would not be correct. Life is tumultuous for everyone. We're all on the same unstable water called life. It may be different waves, but we all face them. We all come to this place of instability. And you understand this morning that if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, you will face tough times. We all know that. We've experienced it. Anyone who's been saved for any time this morning can attest to that. There will be times of difficulty. In this world, you will have tribulation, right? But be of good cheer. Why? Because I have overcome the world. You will have tribulation, though. There will be these times of difficulty. So the message this morning is not that that life is going to be easy and free from trouble and free from problems and free from storms. That all of a sudden, when you trust Christ, that everything just makes sense and becomes stable and is easier from here on out. No, the message this morning is this. The world is unstable, but in Christ we can find stability. In Christ we find that stability that we need. And let me just give you three things this morning to remember that will give you some stability in these times of storm that you face. That's exactly where the disciples find themselves. I want you to notice, first of all, that God sees you in the storm. God sees you in that storm. I love Matthew 14 and verse 22. There's a couple things I see here. Straightway, Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him onto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. When he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship that the disciples are in, was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. The disciples are in a... It's funny, this is the second time that we find the disciples in this same sort of situation. They're in the ship, and they're in a difficult place. They're in a difficult situation. These fishermen, many of them, are now back out on the storm again, on the sea again, in a storm again that was out of their control again, just like it was a few chapters ago. And they're out on the sea in this storm, and they are just being tossed back and forth by the waves. The wind was contrary. It was against them. They're rowing, they're toiling, they're working, they're not really making it anywhere. It's the fourth watch of the night. By the way, that's somewhere probably between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m. in the morning. So they've probably been at this for some time, and they're there rowing and working in the middle of the night or very early in the morning. It's dark, they're exhausted. I'm sure they're feeling just a little bit, again, of helplessness and despair. Here we are in a storm. We're working. We're not getting anywhere. You've ever been in that place where you feel like you're fighting a losing battle? You realize that very quickly discouragement and despair set in. When it feels like you're not making any headway, there's no getting ahead. You're trying. This is that that sense of discouragement I'm sure they're feeling. Are things ever going to get any better? Are we ever going to make it out of this storm? But there's some encouragement here, I think, in these verses. And two things that I see. First of all, notice that they were in that place because Jesus sent them there. You notice that in verse 22? And straightway Jesus, what's the word? Say it. Straightway he constrains. In verse 22. Straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship. He constrained them. Jesus sent the multitudes away. He goes by himself to pray, as we see him often do, for a little bit of time. He needs some time to pray, and he constrains his disciples to go get into a ship. Other translations say that Jesus made them get into a ship, but I think the word is even stronger than that. The word that's used here for constrain has the idea of compelling someone to do something. It can actually have the idea of forcing them to do something by threats or by persuasion or by any other means. I don't think that Jesus threatened them to get in the boat, but it's very clear here that Jesus commanded them, he persuaded them, he constrained them to get in the boat and go out on the sea. Get in this boat and go to the other side. And the truth is this, the disciples were in a storm because that's exactly where Jesus sent them. He knew all of this was going to take place. They were exactly where Jesus wanted them to be. In fact, they were in a difficult place because they were being obedient to Jesus. Let me say it this way. I'll put it up there. Just because you're in a rough spot doesn't mean you're not in the right spot. They were in a rough spot, but they were exactly where Jesus wanted them to be. They were in the right spot. You can be in a difficult place simply because that's where God wants you to be. Sometimes following Jesus means going through trials. Sometimes following Jesus means that you have to go through those difficult places. He has a purpose in them, but first he's got to send you there. You know, I'll never forget, I probably told this story before, and so forgive me if I have, but I'll just never forget taking one of my children to the emergency room to get stitches on their close to their eye because they fell out of bed and cut it open. And I remember in the States sitting there in that emergency room while they were getting stitches and literally holding them because they couldn't have any sort of anesthetic or anything, holding them as the doctor was stitching up their eye. And he was screaming at me and wondering why I was holding him down while they were hurting him. But the truth is I had to take him to that place and go through that so that he could get better, so that he could heal. I knew it hurt. I knew it wasn't an enjoyable place to be, but I had to take him through that so in the end he could heal and come out in a better place. And it's amazing to me that God sends them into this place where they're going to struggle and they're going to be confronted with their own insufficiencies because he was doing something in them and through them and for them. And so he sends them to this place. They were there because he sent them there. But secondly, Jesus saw them where they were. He knew exactly where they were. In fact, Mark chapter 6. Now remember, Jesus has gone up into the mountain to pray. The disciples are on the boat. They're probably 2 to 3 miles from shore at this time. Jesus, it says in Mark 6, verse 48, and he saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary to them. I don't know if that means that Jesus saw them as he was walking to them. I tend to think that it means that Jesus saw them from that mountain place. I think maybe this is part of a supernatural miracle where Jesus sees them where they are, and in his mind, he can see them toiling. He sees that they're rowing, they're struggling. In fact, the word that Mark uses for toiling there has the idea of being tortured. I mean, that's how hard there working. It wasn't just some light rowing. They were being tossed. They were working. They were struggling. They were bruised and battered and beaten down by the storm. But Jesus sees them there. He had his eye on them. He knew exactly where they were. See, it doesn't matter where you are or what you're facing. You are never out of God's sight. He sees where you are. He knows what you're going through. It might seem like you're like the disciples, that you're stuck out in the middle of nowhere, far away from God's watchful eye. But he sees you. He knows your situation. He knows exactly what you're going through. He is, as Hagar says, you are the God who sees me. You know all about this. You know who I am. You know where I am. You know my situation. He sent them there. He knew they were there. He saw their struggle. He saw their situation. But if it would have just ended there, that would have been tragic. Right? If Jesus just knew that they were out there, that wouldn't have been enough. So I want you to notice, secondly, that God's presence brings stability. God's presence brings stability. In verse 25, Matthew says, in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit, and they cried out for fear. So not only could Jesus see them, but they were also within Jesus' reach. Jesus could go to them. Matthew tells us that he goes to them walking on the sea. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? Reminds me of the story of the two deacons that took their pastor out fishing. And they got in the boat and they went out to their favorite spot. This is not a personal story, by the way. They took their pastor out to one of their favorite spots, and they were anchored out far from shore. And after a little while fishing, the first deacon said, oh, I forgot my sandwich in the car. And he steps out of the boat and walks across the water and grabs the sandwich and then walks back and gets back in the boat again. And the pastor's just, he's amazed by this. But the other deacon didn't say anything, so he just kind of sits there quietly and contemplates it. Well, soon after that, the other deacon says, you know what? I forgot my thermos in the car. And he gets out of the boat and walks to the car and gets his thermos and comes back into the boat again. And now the pastor's thinking, this is crazy. But if my deacons can do that, I should be able to do that too. Like I should. So he says to the deacons, you know what? I also forgot something in the car. I need to go get it. And he steps out of the boat and promptly sinks like a rock and begins swimming back to shore. And the first deacon looks at the second deacon and says, do you think maybe next time we should tell him where the rocks are? Jesus wasn't walking on rocks. A lot of people try to diminish these miracles. Jesus was walking on the water. Here's the disciples. They're in the middle of a storm, and they're rowing as hard as they can. They're toiling through the night. And they look up, and here comes Jesus walking on top of the water to them. But now they're even more scared. Like they were scared before, but now they see this man walking and they think to themselves, what do they think? This is a ghost. This can't be anything else. It must be a spirit. Who can walk on the water? So they figure it's a ghost. And they cry out even more in fear. The trouble just keeps getting worse. The winds are bad. The waves are terrible. And to top it all off, now here's a ghost walking to them across the water. And they're fearful. And what they needed to realize and what they needed to be reminded of is that wherever you go, God is there. If God just saw them but couldn't do anything for them, what good would that be? You may have heard the saying, wherever you go, there you are. Well, it's also true, wherever you go, God is there too. He is there. Psalm 139, whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. Wherever you go, God is there. You might feel, again, like the disciples, like you're stuck out in the middle of the lake, going nowhere, far away from any help or answer or deliverance. But remember, God is there. You are never out of God's reach. And Jesus' response here says, listen, he comes to the disciples and says, don't be afraid. Be of good courage. Take heart. Have cheer. Don't fear. Don't give in to this fear. Why? Because it's me. It is I. I'm here. It's just me. Can you imagine the disciples' relief at that moment when they found out it was Jesus? Here they are in the storm. They're not sure if they're going to make it. They think it's a ghost. And all of a sudden, they realize that Jesus is there. It's me. It's I. It's kind of like when you're driving. Have you ever had this experience? You're driving in the car, not really paying attention to how fast you're going or where you're going, and all of a sudden the police car that's been behind you for who knows how long throws on its lights, right? And there's that panic, that fear that, oh no, I'm in big trouble. I don't know if you've ever had that happen, where you're driving, all of a sudden he throws the lights on, you get this knot in the stomach, you start to think of, well, I got to get my insurance and my license, I've got to pull over, I've got a ticket, I don't have time for this today. You're thinking all of those things, and then all of a sudden, the police officer that's right behind you with his lights on pulls out around you and takes off. He's obviously chasing someone else or doing something else. I don't know if you've ever had that happen, but there's a great feeling of relief, right? You think you're fearful, I'm in trouble, there's just a lot going on, and all of a sudden it's like, oh, it wasn't for me. It's, I don't have to fear. I felt like I was in trouble, but I never actually was in trouble. There was no reason to fear. I imagine that's how the disciples felt, that they're in the storm, the winds are still blowing, the waves are still crashing, but now everything's okay because Jesus is here. I thought I was in trouble, but I remember what he did last time we were in the storm. God's presence brings that stability, that peace. But I want you to notice thirdly and finally that we need to trust him in the storm. Jesus says, it's me, I'm here. And Peter answers in verse 28 and said, Lord, if it be thou, I mean, Peter, who else is it going to be? But if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were coming to the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. Jesus, if it's really you, let me come to you. And Jesus says, come. Now listen, can you imagine the faith that it took for Peter to step out of the boat? Could you imagine the faith it took for Peter to say, Lord, if it's really you, let me come, let me walk on the water just like you are? What do you think Peter would have felt like as he first stepped out his foot and tested the water to see if he could actually stand on it? As he gets out of the boat, could you imagine how awesome that would have been to suddenly find yourself walking on the water toward Jesus in the middle of the wind and the waves and the storm, all of that around you? It's pretty amazing, but Peter quickly goes from a high point in his life to one of his low points. Here he is walking on the water with Jesus, and he takes a second look at the wind and the waves. And he begins to fear and he begins to sink. And he does the only thing he can do. He cries out, "Lord, save me." And Jesus does. Jesus reaches out his hand and catches him before he sinks down beneath the surface of the waves. And Jesus says, "You have little faith. Why did you doubt?" Like, you had faith, you stepped out, and then you doubted, and you began to sink. I think just quickly as we finish up, there's a few lessons we can learn from here. I think there's really three quick lessons. First of all, there's a lesson on faith. You know, when you trust Jesus, God can do some pretty amazing things in your life. The life of faith is a life of adventure and amazement. God really wants to do wonderful things, but I think so often we want God to do these wonderful things in our lives, but we're afraid to take that first step of faith, to step out. I like the way one author put it. He said, if you want to walk on the water, you have to get out of the boat. And Peter did that. How would Peter have ever known that he could walk on the water if he didn't get out of the boat? I wonder if any of the other disciples thought, hey, if Peter can do it, then so can I. I want to get out and walk on the water. We can be hard on him, but Peter actually got out of the boat when nobody else did. Peter walked on the water. There's a lesson here on faith. God wants to do wonderful things in your life, but you need to get out of the boat. You need to step out in faith. And by the way, I believe that's true personally. I believe that's true as a church as well. God wants to do some wonderful things in your life, in the church's life, but we need to step out by faith. There's also a lesson on focus. We need to keep our eyes on Jesus. It's great when you take that first step of faith, but don't forget about the second step and the third step and the fourth step and so on. Peter lost focus. He began to look at other things. He was fine as long as he kept his eyes on Jesus. But as soon as he lost focus and started looking at the wind and the waves and the storm, he fell. Don't lose your focus. When you go through these difficult situations, when you're in these storms, don't focus on the problem. Focus on Jesus. Keep your eyes fixed on him. There's a lesson on faith, a lesson on focus. There's also a lesson on forgiveness. God loves you and forgives you even when you fall, even when you lose faith. Even when you lose focus, even when you mess up. Peter said, "Lord, save me." And he did. Jesus is right there to help him get back into the boat. Jesus and Peter get back into the boat, and immediately the winds die down. Everything is calm again. Those that are in the boat begin to worship Jesus, saying, "Of a truth, thou art the Son of God." How many times did they have to be reminded of that? But they're just amazed again. You have to be, that you are the Son of God. Jesus saw them there. He came to them. He showed them who he was. He called them to a place of trust and faith. Listen, we are going to go through storms in life. We are going to have those times where it is difficult, where things come up one after another, where we're struggling and toiling, and even feeling tortured in the storm, as the disciples did. Many times we're there because that's where God wants us to be. But know that he sees us there. We know that we can have experience his presence and his power in it. And sometimes we just need to trust him. Sometimes we just need to spend some time praising him, even in the storm. Can you picture that scene in verse 33? Jesus is in the boat. Now all the disciples are just praising him and they're worshiping him. And they're like, "Jesus, you are the Son of God." It's so obvious. There's this time of just praise and worship for who he is. Yes, life is unstable at times. But Jesus gives us the stability we need in his presence and his power. Listen, I don't care what happens in the world around us. I don't care what happens in the election this week. I don't care if everything caves in around us. We have everything that we need in Jesus Christ. We have His presence. We have His power. We have everything we need. So let's trust Him in it. Let's praise Him for it. And like the disciples, let's worship Him for who He is, even in the storm.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. My prayer is that God would use the preaching of His word in your life in a special way. If there's any way that we can be a help to you, please feel free to reach out at bibcinfo@gmail.com. Or if you're in the area, you're always welcome to come join us in worshiping the Lord together every Sunday morning at 10 o'clock and Wednesday at 6:30. May the Lord bless you today.